Blog Talk Radio.
From Dallas, Texas, I'm Chad Burleson, and this is the Chad Report. It is Friday, June 12th, 2015, TGIF. And here to join me, as always, my partner in crime, Jeff Rivers.
Hey, how you doing, Chad?
Doing well. A little delay there, Jeff. What's the... Don't get too excited now. Yay, what a great week. The end of the week, always good to see Friday. And a busy week. Went by very fast, too, didn't you think?
Absolutely, always does.
It really does. It especially goes by pretty fast when you have just been drafted in, you know, to become a Major League Baseball player, like the guest we have joining us today. You know, give it up for the newest Washington National, Taylor Hearn. What's up, Taylor?
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Taylor.
Hey, Taylor. What a great week you've had, man. This is what you've been building up for, and it has happened. So congratulations.
Oh,
congratulations.
Thank you. I
appreciate it. Okay, and just so... Just to bring everybody up to speed here, this is actually Taylor's fourth time to be drafted. He's called one that when they go down the draft, they call him a redraft. And basically, you can when you're drafted, there's so many rounds, and you can either take that or you can play another year and then go into the draft again. And that's what Taylor did. And so basically, and Taylor, make sure I have this right. In 2012, it was Pittsburgh. No. 2013, Cincinnati, 2014, Minnesota, I don't think so, but 2015, the Washington Nationals, boom, that's it, fifth round.
You got that, you hit it right on the nail, perfect.
And no shade to any of those cities, because those are good markets for us as well, so, and you never know what the future holds, too, right?
So, right.
But awesome. And so just kind of tell our listeners basically what happened and where were you and when did you know that Washington, it was going to be the Washington Nationals that were going to pick you?
Well, me and my mom, dad, and sister, we went out to Topgolf just to get my mind off of it and stuff. And funny thing is, before we go hit golf balls at the driving range, I look at all of them. I'm like, hey, you know, tell me, if you had to pick what team to draft me, who would it be? And my mom, I forgot who she said. My sister said the Rangers. And my dad goes, either the Nationals or the White Sox. But he said, I think the Nationals is my draft year. And then go hit golf balls,
wow.
Out there hitting. And it's about an hour and a half goes by. And I'm sitting in my chair, and it's hard for me not to look at my phone because you want to look and see what round they're on, but I promised my mom I wouldn't look at it. And so I'm sitting in my chair, and I'm just constantly saying to myself, oh, my God, just work your magic. I'm leaving it in your hands. And so I go up and hit a golf ball, and my sister goes, you got a text message from your agent. I'm like, oh, okay. So I check it, and she goes, Washington at 5. And she goes, what does that mean? And I knew what it meant. She just didn't know. And my mom's like, Washington at 5? She goes, what does that mean? I was like, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. And so I took them out to the car, and they were watching it. And then my name actually came across. And then you talk about a big old weight lifted off my shoulder. It was I felt so good. So good.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Awesome.
And I love the video too, because in the car, because you can hear your sister's Robin, of course, so I know She's still your biggest cheerleader, definitely. And you're like, she kind of shushes her, you know, and then they announce her name, and then I hear your mother, yay, you know, Taylor. So.
Yeah, that's right. Funny thing is, she was actually, she wasn't watching it on her phone. She had like a live tracker where it would update every time a name came across. And when my name popped across before they said it, she busted out crying. That's why you hear me in the background, like don't be like quiet. I don't want to spoil it. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, they were really happy for me, and I mean, they supported me through this whole thing.
I know they have. They really have. And wow, it's just been incredible through the years, too. I mean, I know you played so many. How old were you, Taylor, when you started? I know you played for these some of these little leagues, I can't think of what you call them, for exceptional players like yourself.
Select? Yes,
the select leagues. Yes. How old were you when you started playing in those?
Started playing when I was 4, started pitching when I was 8, and then I started playing selects with my trainer Omar when I was 8. So I've been doing it since
awesome.
I was 8.
Wow. Incredible. Well, it has certainly paid off, that is for sure. And I also wanted to congratulate you. You are were the first NAIA player to go in the 2015 draft. So congratulations to you on that. That's outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
You played at San Jacinto for a couple of years, and then you went to OBU, which is Oklahoma Baptist University, which is in Shawnee. What was it like there? How was your time there? Did you enjoy it? And what did you take away from head coach Bobby Cox?
Shawnee is a really, really small town in Oklahoma. And so I was kind of used to it. You know, it's just like my hometown back home in Texas. It's a small town, so it wasn't nothing really major. And the guys were nice. The people were really nice. Everybody knew everybody. And a lot of people supported Oklahoma Baptist. And, you know, they were real big supporters. But Bobby Cox, he was probably one of the best coaches I've had. I mean, he was a nice guy. I mean, never really yelled at you. He treated you like a man. He treated you like a professional. And, you know, he'd tell you, you know, if you want to get better, you're going to have to do it on your own. But I'm going to be here to help you. And, you know, he'll give his point. He'll give his comments to say, you know, you're casting out on a ball or something, just anything, pitching or hitting. But, I mean, other than that, he was just one of the best guys. I mean, wouldn't yell or anything. And, I mean, I love him. I mean, he was just a nice guy overall. I mean, not just him, but, you know, Coach Painter, Chris Cox, and Trent Daniels, all them guys. They were just good coaches. I mean, and the teammates I had were unbelievable. I mean, that was probably besides this. I had fun at San Jac, but at OBU, I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun because we went to the World Series in Lewiston, Idaho. And that was the first time I ever been, and I got to pitch a game. It was pretty amazing.
That's awesome. And I do want to say, his quote was, I'm really proud of him. This is OBU coach Bobby Cox said, quote, I'm really proud of him and happy for him and his family. I'm excited that he gets the chance to get started on his career. I thought he'd go in the first 5 rounds, and it was getting pretty close. So he was right on the money on that then, as far as you going in the first 5 rounds. And also, Taylor, I wanted to congratulate you on going. You had a 9-0 record with an ERA of 3.50. You struck out 71 batters in 64.1 innings pitched. And opponents hit just 191 against you this year. That's very impressive. You said that, quote, I thank God for this opportunity. I thank him for my time at OBU with their great coaching staff and great teammates. How much do you give? How much credit do you play? I know faith plays a big part in your life, Taylor. How much credit do you give to that?
Oh, I give God all the credit because wasn't for him, I wouldn't even be in this situation. And he changed me into the man I am now. He matured. I wish I could tell you, but I'm just happy and thankful for what he's done in my life and what he's about to do.
Absolutely. And including, like, I know there was a scary time with the elbow surgery you had done.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so you never know how, I mean, you always hope for the best, but we've seen things, you know, sometimes that doesn't necessarily go that way. And fortunately, in your case, that turned out well. So absolutely, God was on your side there. And that's outstanding, Taylor. So now, if you would, so I understand you are going to, you will go to Florida to sign this contract with Washington. Is that correct?
Yes, I will be flying Sunday to Vera, Florida, if I'm pronouncing that correct. It's like 2 hours from Miami. I'll go down there and take my physical and then sign my contract. And then they told me they will be sending me to Auburn, New York for start short season baseball. So.
All right. Wow. So that's getting it. Wow, how things just go fast, don't they? When all this happens.
Yeah. Maybe you talk about the fastest 3 years I've ever. You know, I mean, at one point I almost, when I was going through all the surgeries and arm problems, you know, at one point I told my mom, I was like, I don't even play baseball anymore. This is, I was like, I can't catch a break, and I don't even know what's going on. And, you know, she really had a big part to. She had a real big part of, like, of helping me to get to this point, because she was always there for me when I needed somebody to talk to. She always used to tell me, you know, keep reading my Bible. You know, things happen for a reason. And, I mean, it was really tough. I know if it wasn't for my mom talking to her and her being in my life, you know, I don't know where I probably wouldn't even be playing baseball. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, I'm just really happy that she kept telling me and would show me, too, how to keep a good relationship with God and how to always never forget about him. And that you may be going through stuff right now, but in the end, you know, it's going to pay off. And it sure has right now, but I know it's just the beginning. So I'm really excited to see what the future holds.
Well, your mother is a remarkable woman, and I've watched her. Yes, I've seen the things that, she, you know, she sent you on Facebook and different things like that, and to encourage you, and that's incredible. And your whole family, your father, your sister as well, that you have a very tight family unit, and, you know, that's incredible too. And I know that they're very supportive of you, Taylor, so that's awesome. Jeff?
Yeah, I had a question for you. You know, obviously you have a very high skill level to be where you are today, Taylor. If there's one person that you had to attribute to raise your skill level to the height that it is today, what was the number one influential person that helped your skill level get to where it is today?
that's a tough question. There's been a lot of people. But if I had to narrow it down to one, I'd probably have to say my trainer who I've been with since I was 8, Omar Washington. You know, I talk to him on a daily basis and ask him for pointers and what I need to do. And I come back home during, you know, sometimes I can't during school, but mainly in the off season, come back and work out with him. But I mean, he's the only person I know that knows me better than anybody else. Cause I mean, he can tell me when I'm doing something wrong and I may not even notice it. So, I mean, he's played a real big part of where I am now. And, I know I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him.
Go ahead.
Yeah, in those formative years, you know, when you're young, able to, you know, absorb so much, you know, knowledge and stuff, you know, and that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the Washington Nationals. Wow, I just that's incredible. Really, and what a great team to play for. Now explain this to me, Taylor. I know they have your play. You said Auburn, New York was one of the play. One of their they have, and just so everybody knows, most teams have two or three farm teams. Correct, Taylor? Is that is it like they have like a 1A, a 2A, a 3A?
Yeah,
and Auburn,
yeah,
Auburn, New York, obviously, is one of those.
Yeah, yeah. They most teams really have around 4 to 5 minor league.
Four
teams.
To five. My bad. Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
That's true. Because like Washington, if I'm correct, they have a team, a rookie team that they have at the spring training facility. They have a short season team, which is mainly for like college guys that are coming out. They have a Class A and Double A and Triple A, and then you got the majors. But most clubs have like Low A, High A. But I mean, I think that other than that, but usually it's around four to five. It just depends.
And out of those, you could be called up to from any of those at any time if you're playing well and they need somebody to come in and fill in for the Nationals. It doesn't really matter where you're at. Is that correct, Taylor?
Yeah. That's very true. That's very true. I know a couple guys that were in Double A, and they got called up to the majors, and that was within like a week or two of the season because maybe they had a guy get injured, or maybe they just felt like they just. You know, he felt like he was ready, you know, so.
Wow. Well, that is incredible. Well, I just can't, we've had you on the show every summer now for the last few years, and every time it's been like, you know, I've kind of kept up with you on wait and see, you know, you're going to think about this and see what that, you know. Well, this time it's not the case. This is different this time. This is this has some finality to it, Taylor, which is what you wanted. So I have to congratulate you on that. That is, this is going to happen. So there's no waiting and seeing. How does that, that has to feel really good to you.
Yeah, it does. Because the last 3 years, I've always had to wait till the deadline. And now I got drafted last week, and now I'm fixing to leave here pretty soon, and it's crazy.
That is. And you will be gone how long until you're back home?
Till September.
Wow. Yeah. I'm sure Mama Deborah is loving that. I'm sure.
Oh,
mixed emotions, though. I know I've talked to her mother, and she's she's very happy for you, but at the same time, it's like bittersweet, you know. It's like, oh my gosh, that's the longest I think that you've gone without. Probably will be the longest you've gone without having your family around you. But you know what? That's the way. That's what you get. You know. That's life, and you build up for this moment. And if there's anybody that's prepared for it, Taylor, it is definitely you. I can just tell. I can hear in your voice, and I'm so impressed, really.
Absolutely,
Taylor.
That'd be like the best time of your life, huh?
I'm very excited. You know, I've been.
Do you have any nerves? Are you
so
nervous
hard.
At all about?
I'm nervous because I'm about to sign the contract and I'm about to go do what I've been working hard for. I'm about to be working hard to get where I'm playing on TV like these guys. And it seemed like it just happened so fast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's all coming to fruition, all that hard work now. That's awesome,
exactly.
Man.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I also want to... Well, on Twitter, I noticed today that, Jeff, this will interest you and many of our listeners. On this day, 4 years ago, was the day that the Dallas, our home team, Dallas Mavericks, won the NBA championship. So thank you for pointing that out, Taylor. June 12th is a nice day in history. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome, Taylor. Well, I just think everything is, this is great. And last question I want to ask you, Taylor, is what advice would you give to any young people, you know, out there, kids that you know, want to, because there's so many kids that you hear want to be, you know, make it in not just Major League Baseball, but in NFL, you know, NBA, whatever. What advice would you give kids that are trying to, that really want to see this come true, like it's done for you?
I would tell them you're gonna have seasons where things ain't gonna go your way, but
in order to reach the ultimate goal, you just got to keep going through and you got to keep trusting in God and got to keep working hard. And you and the biggest part is your attitude. Because, you know, if you show like a negative attitude when you're going through a tough season, you're going through a bad, all it's going to do is just delay it or possibly not lose it, but just possibly delay it. You know, I mean, if you go through with a positive attitude through a tough time and you want to get to where you want to get at NFL or whatever, I mean, anything's possible. So.
That is great. And yeah, that's attitude. Well, that's just good. That's great life advice, period. That's great. There's people that, you know, older than you, older than me, that could actually use that advice.
That's the truth.
Yeah. Good job. Good job. Well, congratulations again, Taylor, and thank you so much for coming on the show. And you know, and again, this is what you've been working for, and you know, these goals, you know, are now reality. And I am just so proud of you. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experience with us. And we wish you nothing but the best of luck. So,
absolutely, Taylor. Thanks so much.
Oh,
congratulations
thank you,
once again.
Yes, yes, yes. Thanks, Taylor. And have a safe trip. And I'll keep up with you. We'll be talking to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. My mom wanted me to tell you she said hello, by the way.
Absolutely. Tell her I said hello.
All right.
Thank you, Taylor. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck,
you
Taylor.
You bet. Taylor Hearn, everyone, the new left-handed pitcher for the Washington Nationals. Outstanding. Is that a great story or what, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful.
All right. Well, we've got more coming up. Including the latest news on the two escaped killers in New York. But first, on this day in 1982, in New York City, 750,000 demonstrators gathered in Central Park to rally against the use of nuclear weapons. I don't know how well that went, but anyway. At the movies, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, an American science fiction sequel starring William Shatner and Ricardo Montalban, was riding high at the top of the box office, and the number one song in the land was this.
What we need to survive together.
Ebony and ivory live together in birth.
Number one on this day in 1982, Paul McCartney with Stevie Wonder and Ebony and Ivory. Number one for 7 straight weeks on the pop charts, and number one on the adult contemporary charts for 5 straight weeks. And,
well, I certainly see why. Love, love, love that song.
Was that a giant hit or what? I mean, really, I'm going to think about just, I remember,
that's such a good,
you know. It really is, especially, yeah, I think maybe this needs to be, there's some police training.
Exactly.
Here, watch
exactly.
This video.
Right, exactly.
And that's not all police, just a few. Gosh, everyone is so touchy, you know. It's like, you know, and again, you know, we've said this before, I think 95% and I have the ultimate respect for police officers and the job they do. It's just it's that other percent that have really come up. Say it again?
I said a few sour apples in every car, you know.
And those sour apples have raised their, you know, heads a lot lately in the last year. Oh, wow. And I'm just glad that the whole I will say this about the latest incident in McKinney, Texas, here in the McKinney's north of Dallas, here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. That officer apologized and resigned, and the McKinney Police Department was quick to condemn his actions, and they kind of explained why they thought he did what he did. And because he had dealt with 2 suicides, people that were, one actually did commit suicide earlier that day, and another person he was able to talk out of, and he said he was just stressed out. And, you know, in something like that, Jeff, you would think that they would, I don't know, maybe it's time to call it a day after you've been through something like that and not send him put in that position to what he was in. Or if that's what if that's what all the job entails, then maybe that's not the job. It's not for everybody. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
because
you can't go out and you can't, you know, you just can't do.
Maybe
just
have a counselor. Maybe a counselor to, just kind of evaluate him to see. Well, should we call it a day and, talk about what happened or what I'm saying and I don't know.
Right. But at the end
just
of the day,
sure
someone has to be responsible. You don't get to treat people the way he did.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, there's no excuse.
The young lady. It's not. And but I was happy to see the McKinney Police Department come forward and admit that and say this is not protocol and then this is not who we are, as opposed to what we've seen in some of the other cities where they're like defensive. Ferguson, Missouri, I still go back to that. What a disaster and a nightmare that was from top to bottom.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
All right. Joyce Mitchell, the New York prison tailor who allegedly aided 2 convicted murderers before their brazen escape, has been suspended without pay, according to the New York State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision. Mitchell, 51, was arrested today by New York State Police in connection with the escape of inmates Richard Matt and David Sweat. Joyce Mitchell, she's accused of providing material assistance to the fugitive felons, is what authorities said today. Mitchell, who authorities said has voluntarily provided useful information in the 6-day manhunt, was in custody and will be arraigned this evening. She faces a felony charge of promoting prison contraband in the 1st degree and a misdemeanor charge of criminal facilitation in the 4th degree. Since the breakout of felons Richard Matt and David Sweat was discovered Saturday, authorities have mentioned her as a possible getaway driver as well as a supplier of tools used in the escape, and her cell phone was used to make calls to people connected to Matt.
Wow. I don't know why somebody would do that. You know, she faces like up to 8 years in prison. You know, why would somebody do that? That's just ridiculous.
Told investigators that Matt made her feel special, though she didn't say she was in love with him, a source familiar with the investigation said. And her husband and prison co-worker Lyle Mitchell also is under investigation. But Joyce Mitchell gave hacksaw blades, drill bits, and lighted eyeglasses to the fugitive felons Richard Matt and David Sweat before their escape.
Mitchell, quote, provided some form of equipment or tools to the inmates while her husband possibly could have been involved or at least had knowledge of the escape, Clinton County District Attorney Andrew Wiley said earlier. The information was developed through interviews. Lyle Mitchell has not been arrested or charged. Joyce Mitchell's relatives have denied that she did anything wrong. Her husband worked in the maintenance department at the tailoring block where his spouse was employed. Lyle Mitchell has worked at the prison since 2005, most recently as about a $58,000 a year industrial training supervisor, the same title his wife held. The hacksaw blades and other items given to Matt were purchased over the past few months, according to law enforcement sources with knowledge of the investigation. Matt and Sweat used power tools to cut through cell walls that included a steel plate and sever a 24-inch steam pipe, once to get in and once more to get out, and service through a manhole. And despite all the time, effort, and noise likely involved, authorities didn't learn anything was awry until a bed check at about 5:30 a.m. on Saturday. And the authorities do strongly believe the fugitives are still together after deciding to continue their escape as a pair. A search perimeter was established, one of the sources said, after an officer saw someone entering a wooded area at nightfall on Wednesday. But, you know, there have been a few little things, Jeff. Bloodhounds picked up the scent of the felons, which naturally are going to. They left there. Hello. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
But as far as, I mean, you know, we're talking 6 days now and almost a week. And
exactly.
Not much really. There's just not been really anything. I mean, other than, you know, there was a wrapper that was consistent with the prison commissary that was found close to the scene. Again, though, this is stuff that would have been dropped on when they, you know, first escaped. So it's just, you know, and we know about there's been over 500 possible leads. But they still think they're in this small perimeter that they've and one went as far today to say that they thought that they would be caught within the next 24 hours. So
right.
I don't know. I hope so. And because these are not these are two very, very dangerous men. And it's incredible that they were in any kind of position to even get this. But I have to say, I'm proud of the New York police for coming in and doing their job and arresting this woman. You just can't, you know, there's no good excuse to give people who have been convicted of horrific murders the way these two guys were, this kind of equipment. You know, I'm glad she didn't follow through on the getaway car thing, you know, picking up. But, you know, she did follow. She went far enough in giving them the tools necessary to escape to begin with. So you got to be responsible for that. And
absolutely. I have a feeling they had another way of, you know, getting in a vehicle with somebody else or hijacked a car or something. I don't know. Cause I mean, the terrain there is pretty bad, you know, pretty bad. I understand for the feet, you know, and when you're not, you know, don't have the proper shoes and things like that, you know? So I have a feeling they got in a car and with somebody, and, you know, and took off.
And what's ironic is that if they did this how fast did they get in that car possibly that you're talking about and get out of that area, you know, because I remember, oh gosh, I woke up early one day this week and on NBC News they were reporting a taxi driver in Philadelphia, I believe it was, thought he had given them a ride and taken them to a train station after he dropped them off. He was like, I think maybe that may have been when they kind of, there wasn't a whole lot said later because I kind of thought, yeah, you know, is it possible? Yes, but they didn't think so. So,
right.
But you know, who knows? I mean, after this much time, you know, the more time that goes
exactly.
on, it's just, you know, it's a tough situation. And scary,
oh, yeah.
I don't think, living around there. Yeah, I know there's a lot of law enforcement, but still, when people like that have nothing to lose, they'll do anything, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In Lowell, Massachusetts, a man who was apparently distraught over a failing relationship released chemical gases in his apartment on Thursday, killing himself and sending 11 other people to the hospital, authorities said. Police in Lowell say officers and paramedics responded in the late morning to a third-floor apartment after the 31-year-old man made postings on Facebook that concerned his friends. Authorities aren't sure what chemicals were used, but early indications are a mix of hydroxin and sulfur, police Captain Timothy Crowley said. You can imagine what that smelled like, Jeff. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
He said there did not appear to be any threat to the public. So, wow. Yeah, I don't. not to laugh. I'm just glad no one else was hurt. But I can understand being sick and sulfur. That's hydroxin. What is that? Obviously, a mixture, Jeff, of.
It's been so long since I've had chemistry. I don't know.
It can't be like good. It mixed with sulfur, and if it made 11 people sick. I can just imagine. Yeah, wow. In Chicago, the federal judge assigned to the case against Dennis Hastert will continue to preside over it after disclosing connections to the former U.S. House Speaker and several attorneys, including contributions he made to the Illinois Republicans campaign. U.S. District Judge Thomas Durkin said during Hastert's arraignment that he believed he can be impartial, but lawyers could decide whether he should be replaced. On Thursday, prosecutors and lawyers for Hastert filed paperwork that they are willing to have Durkin remain on the case. Hastert, 73, is accused of agreeing to pay $3.5 million to keep past misconduct secret. He has pleaded not guilty. And that, of course, we're talking about from 4 decades ago as a wrestling coach, a young man. That's a lot of hush money. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And apparently not money well spent. So it didn't hush.
Exactly.
So in Philadelphia, a former madam who performed illegal, quote, body sculpting was sentenced Thursday to 10 to 20 years in prison after the death of a dancer whose heart stopped after nearly half a gallon of silicone was injected into her buttocks. Paige Victoria Winslow told jurors during her spring murder trial that clients called her the Michelangelo of buttocks injections. But prosecutors say she had no medical training and used deadly products on vulnerable women, including fellow members of the transgender community who wanted curves. Wow.
I don't think I want that many
the
curves.
Michelangelo of buttocks injections. Well, you'll have time to think about that in while you're sitting in prison,
exactly.
I guess. Wow, incredible. You just never know what people are going to do. I didn't really
exactly.
Can't make this stuff up. All right, that's going to do it for the news. The wide world of sports is straight ahead. You're listening to The Chad Report.
Bye.
the always entertaining Paula Abdul and her seventh top 40 hit, Promise of a New Day. Seventh top 40 hit, Jeff, but sixth number one hit. Of those first, of her first seven, six were number one, and the other one was number three. That would be her final number one hit. And, you know, really, when you look at her career, basically we're talking about 89, 90, 91, 92 as far as top 40. And then she had another top 40 hit in 1995 called My Love Is For Real. So, but you know what? If you're going to have – it was really, you know, I mean, because when I was in, you know, when I graduated, she was the bomb, you know, to say. I mean,
right.
Really, this was – and but basically two albums made her, you know, is what she's known for. And, but like I said, great. Those are great songs. Rush, of course, Straight Up. I think Straight Up, which I'm sure would be her signature song, I would think. Cold Hearted, Forever
right.
Your Girl, Opposites Attract. Those are all great, great, great songs. And,
absolutely. And she's a great dance choreographer too, isn't she?
That's what she started out as. You know, a lot of people forget that she is one of her early jobs was she was the choreographer for the video for Pat Benatar's Love Is a Battlefield, and Pat Benatar plays a teenager living home, running away from home, and I think she's in her 30s. So she's like, you know, she's looking at the house. We are young. We're not that young, though. But, you know, yeah, good stuff, though. And Paula Abdul just never ceases to she's a very entertaining loopy sometimes, but you know, sometimes
right.
you're going to get, you don't know if you're going to get energetic Paula or you know, I'm barely
right.
hanging on to this table here before I pass out.
Exactly,
but,
as evidenced by American Idol.
Right. What's in that Coke? Exactly, yes.
Exactly.
You know what, though? She's a household name, and so she's done something right. Very good stuff from Paula Abdul. All right. In Cleveland, no panic, no playing around, just California cool. The Golden State Warriors simply did what they had to do, and now they're going home in the same shape as when they left, tied in the NBA Finals. Stephen Curry and Andre Iguodala scored 22 points apiece, and the Warriors, showing their depth and why they were the league's best team all season, squared the best-of-seven series at 2-2 on Thursday night with a 103-82 victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers. LeBron James scored 20 points, 21 under his average in the series, with 12 rebounds and 8 assists. But Cleveland star, who played with a cut on his head after the first half, fall, didn't score in the fourth quarter and couldn't do enough for the undermanned Cavaliers. Game 5 is Sunday night at Oakland's Oracle Arena, where the teams split two overtime games last week. Quote, we've seen it all year. Every team we go up against, we use our strength in numbers, said Iguodala, who made a surprise start. Not only do we have a good first unit, but we've got a second unit that is coming at you with the same type of speed, same type of high IQ, same type of high IQ basketball. It's hard to keep up, you know, when they're going that with us. And
what was up with LeBron James and cameras during that game? That's what I like to know.
Well, he took a bad tumble to in the second quarter, cutting his head after crashing into photographers behind the baseline. He was fouled by Anthony Bogut on the drive and fell backwards with his head hitting a camera. And he remained down for a couple of minutes before getting up, holding a towel over his head to stop the bleeding coming from the cut in the back. He made one of the two free throws. Questions immediately did come up about the NBA's concussion protocol. The standards require a player who suffers a head injury to be taken back to the locker room and evaluated to determine if he suffered a concussion. But James remained in the game after getting the cuts 10-2 on the bench. ABC anchor Sage Steele asked NBA Commissioner Adam Silver during halftime why James did not need to go to the back for further testing. Quote, if he stops bleeding, he doesn't have to come out of the game, Silver said. It seemed to be a surface cut. He seemed to be fine. He had a free throw, and he stayed in the game. However, James may need to call Janet Jackson to get some advice on how to handle wardrobe malfunctions. Moments before Game 4 began...
is this about another head injury? Or?
You could say that. James inadvertently exposed himself to millions watching on live television. As James was getting ready to take the court, an ABC camera moved in for a close-up. Turns out it got a little too close. James was adjusting his shorts as he started to tuck in his jersey. He briefly pulled down the black compression shorts he wore under his gold game shorts as well, exposing himself to an audience that has averaged about 18.5 million viewers in the first three games of the series. It conjured memories of Jackson's performance at halftime of the Super Bowl in 2004 when Justin Timberlake tugged at Jackson's top and briefly exposed one of the singer's breasts. So, you never know what's going to happen on live TV, and
exactly.
But hey, it happens, and you know, you just move on, right? So, and we're going to move on. In Tampa, Florida, four games deep in the Stanley Cup Finals, all that's clear is just how little separates the Chicago Blackhawks and the Tampa Bay Lightning. These two conference champions have two victories, 9 goals, and 24 penalty minutes apiece, while Chicago has outshot Tampa Bay 107-104. Neither team has led by more than one goal at any point in the first four games of the finals, which have each been decided by one goal for the first time since 1968 and just the third time in the NHL history. The Lightning stayed overnight in Chicago after Wednesday's 2-1 loss before heading home to prepare for Game 5 on Saturday night. And that will be on NBC at 7 o'clock Central Time at Tampa Bay with a series tied 2-2. So, wow, a lot going on in the NBA and the NHL. Oh. Okay, I know we're running short on time. Let me go. In baseball, a host of games going on today, but let's just go down the standings going into today. In the American League, in the West Division, the Houston Astros at 34-27 have a 2.5-game lead over the Texas Rangers. In the AL Central, it's the Kansas City Royals at 34-23. They have a 2-game lead over the Minnesota Twins. And in the AL East, the New York Yankees at 33-26. Have a 2-game lead over Tampa Bay. In the National League, the L.A. Dodgers, National League West, the L.A. Dodgers at 35-25 have a game and a half lead over San Francisco. And the NL Central, it's the St. Louis Cardinals at 39-21 with a 6-game lead over Chicago, the Chicago Cubs. And in the National League East, it's New York at 32-29, the New York Mets with a half a game lead over the Washington Nationals. So just a half a game. Wow. Once they get Taylor in there, they can make that up.
Exactly. You know, then they should go up the ranks.
And finally, no one will wear number 21 for the San Diego Chargers ever again. The team will officially retire running back LaDainian Tomlinson's jersey number during a November 22nd game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Quote, what a humbling day, said Tomlinson. So many memories and thoughts run through my mind at this moment that I am at a loss for words. How can you explain getting your number retired and being honored in this way? I don't even know how I got here. Tomlinson, a former TCU star, played 9 seasons with the Chargers and was the NFL MVP in 2006. Tomlinson, a 5-time Pro Bowler who retired following the 2011 season, is the 4th Charger to have his number retired. He joins Hall of Famers Lance Allworth, number 19, Dan Fouts, number 14, and Junior Seau, number 55, who goes into the Hall of Fame this summer. So congratulations to him on that.
Absolutely.
All right, that's going to do it for sports. The entertainment update is next, right here on The Chad Report.
Thank you.
Disco Kings, the Bee Gees, and their 23rd top 40 hit, Night Fever, the biggest hit of their career, number one for 8 straight weeks, went
wow.
platinum, and
love
of course
it,
from the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack starring John Travolta. And that is a great song. You know, Staying Alive is, we probably hear that more than that, than Night Fever. Staying Alive was number one for 4 straight weeks. That's a tough one, though. And also How Deep Is Your Love was their big ballad from that. That was number one for 3 weeks. And that whole soundtrack just dominated that year as far as, you know. But all those songs are great. And as much as I like Staying Alive, I think I'd like Night Fever a little bit more. And it may be because I've heard Staying Alive so much. You know, sometimes things get overkill. You know what I mean? And you're just like, and don't get me wrong. Anytime Staying Alive comes on, if I'm, you know, give me a few drinks, and if I'm on the dance floor, I'll be able to, yeah, I'm level ready to go.
Exactly.
I just like Night Fever's, I don't know, it's just got a great... It's just excellent. That's disco at its finest, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Good stuff from the Bee Gees. Okay, in London, Christopher Lee, an actor who brought a undeniable voice and aristocratic bearing to screen villains from Dracula to the Wizard Saruman in Lord of the Rings, has died at the age of 93. I hope I'm saying that right. Officials confirmed Thursday that Lee died on Sunday. His agent said his family declined to comment or provide more details. Lee appeared in more than 250 movies, taking on memorable roles such as the James Bond enemy Scaramanga and a Count Dooku in the 2 Star Wars prequels, but for many, he will forever be known as the vampire in the slew of gothic horror movies that Britain's Hammer Studio churned out in the 1950s and 60s. That's a long time to live. Age 93. Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Is that not great or what?
Oh, yeah.
Also, long time... And the old Opry member Jim Ed Brown died Thursday at the age of 81. Brown, who died of cancer at a hospital in Franklin, Tennessee, topped the charts with his sisters as the trio, the Browns. Their number one hit, The Three Bells, was followed by other successes, including Scarlet Ribbons for Her Hair and The Old Lamplighter. Sisters Bonnie and Maxine left the group in the mid-1960s to raise their families, and Brown then had a solo career, beginning with the hit Papa Top again in 1967. Other popular songs were Morning in 1970 and Southern Living in 1973. Brown also was a prominent figure on country music television shows in the 70s and 80s, and he will be inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame this year. So, wow, congratulations there, definitely.
Absolutely.
All right. On the... let's do the top 10 albums of the week. Jab at number 10, moving back into the top 10, Maroon 5 and their album 5. At number 9, moving back in the top 10 as well, the Zac Brown Band with Jekyll and Hyde. Holding at number 8 is Meghan Trainor with Tidal. Debuting at number 7, Django and Jimmy by Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard. Willie
wow.
Nelson and Merle Haggard.
Wow. I wasn't expecting to hear them.
Merle Haggard's great too, but Willie Nelson just amazes me. I mean, this man, there's just, you know, the energy and the constant touring and incredible. You would never know he was in his 80s, you know?
Exactly. Plus, he's got his own brand of weed coming out too, I think.
He's had his own brand of whiskey, his own brand of weed. I'm sure him and his good friend Snoop Dogg will have, you know, will sample that and make sure that's just right. Dropping 2 spots to number 6, Pitch Perfect 2, of course, from the soundtrack. And, okay, I'm getting a little ahead of myself there. At number 5, up 2 notches from 7, Ed Sheeran with X. Debuting at number 4, Everything Is 4 by Jason Derulo. At number 3, dropping out of the number 1 slot at long last, ASAP by ASAP Rocky. Holding on at number 2, Taylor Swift with 1989. And debuting in number one, How Big, How Blue, How Beautiful by Florence and the Machine. So congratulations there. If you're going to start out, number one's a good place to start, don't you think?
Absolutely. Wow.
And once again, the number one song on Billboard's Hot 100 singles chart is See You Again by Wiz Khalifa featuring Charlie Puth. So another good week for Wiz Khalifa. Wow. Interesting. All right, Jeff.
Oh, wow.
Celebrity birthday time. Country singer Chris Young is 30. Singer Robin.
I'm going to say 32.
Very nice. 36 for Robin. Blues guitarist Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
Oh, wow. I'm going to say this is a loss here. This one, I'm going to say 54.
Oh, my God.
I'm not exactly sure who that is.
That's just that would be Kenny Wade Shepherd Sr., Jeff. He's 38 today. So.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Oh, see, you know what? Yeah, that just proves obvious. That we don't I always love this. We don't rehearse on the chat report.
Right.
And people are, that's my favorite line over the years because people are like going, what a shock, you know. So, sportscaster Marv Albert, Jeff, what do you think about that one?
Okay. I'm going to stick with
this. You're 50. Scaring me. Huh? Marv Albert?
Yeah, Marv Albert, 54, I said. Yeah, 54.
Oh, wow. That would be Marv Albert Jr. Marv Albert is 74 today,
oh,
Jeff.
Oh, my God,
so,
big time, man.
Marv, you know what, though? I'm going to save you on this a little bit, Jeff. Marv Albert does not look 74. I mean, he's one of the main guys that
right.
do the NBA games. And, you know, wow, he's come a long way from the little biting scandal, to, if you remember that. Does anyone remember that? That's never even brought up, hardly. I forget nothing as far as scandals go. But anyway.
Right.
actor-singer Jim Nabors, Gomer Pyle fame.
Oh, wow. I'm going to say 78.
Plus 7, 85 today for Jim Nabors. And what was his popular catchphrase, Jeff?
Golly.
Thank you. It? Exactly. And last but not least, former President George H.W. Bush.
Oh, man. I'm going to say he's up there. I'm going to say 88.
Plus 91 today for the former president. Wow. Congratulations to him and to any of our listeners celebrating a birthday. You can find also, before I go into that, I want to thank once again our guest today, Taylor Hearn, and congratulate him for being drafted, the newest member of the Washington Nationals, left-handed pitcher. And I think the future is very bright for our friend Taylor. And that was a great interview, always glad to have him on the show. You can find
Definitely.
Jeff and I on Facebook at Chad Burleson or Jeff Rivers. You can find us on Twitter at The Chad Reports. The Chad Report is distributed by Blog Talk Radio and is a CJ Scorpio Entertainment production. Thanks, everyone.
Just like ice, and there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You'll wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask you use. And did you think this fool could never win? Well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor. I'm still standing.
circus. You'd be a clown.